The words of God given to us for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. The words are from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. I will read the words. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Amen. These days, we are sharing the word from the Acts during the early morning prayer hours. The Acts is God's words that tell us how the church started on the foundation of the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus Christ preached, and how the history of church unfolded. The Acts, which is made up of 28 chapters, is centered on the words of chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Chapter 1 through 7 testify about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the work that went on with Jerusalem at its center. And chapters 8 to 12 testify about how the words of God spread out from Judea and Samaria. And chapters 13 to 28 testify about how the words of God spread out, was witnessed as far as Rome, which was considered to be at the end of the world at the time. The Acts also show us how many walls that people, in particular the Jews, lived with came down in the process of the gospel spreading from Jerusalem to the end of the world, Rome, which was the heart of the Roman Empire. The disciples who saw Jesus, who lived again and ascended to heaven, gathered to pray at an upper room and were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come as Jesus promised. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to the first part of verse 15 testify as follows. "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. The upper room of Judea was not like an attic in our houses, where one can barely stand up. It was a space that functioned both as the main bedroom and living room, the largest space in the house. The text tells us that the disciples had gathered together. They left them without Judas Iscariot and many women and the family of Jesus. And it tells us that the people who had gathered there numbered about 120. We know that when Jewish people counted people, they only counted adult males without including women and children. Therefore, the number of Israelites who left Egypt is described as about 600,000 men. And in telling of the miracle of five breads and two fishes, it is said that there were about 5,000 men without counting women and children. And the number of men who ate at the event is said to be about 5,000. But in the Acts, the number of people who had gathered to join in prayer at the upper room is said to have numbered about 120. It does not say that the group numbered 120 without counting women and children, or the group numbered 120 counting men alone. This shows how the wall between gender had come down in the resurrected Lord. After Stephen was martyred, a great persecution followed in Jerusalem. People who followed the Lord dispersed throughout Judea and Samaria. At the time, Philip, who was one of the seven persons who were elected to carry out helping mission at the Jerusalem church, went to Samaria to spread the gospel. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 testified to that scene as follows. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. As the conversation Jesus had with Samaritan women confirms for us, we know that Jews and Samaritans had deep animosity towards one another. But Philip went to Samaria to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's surprising that Philip went to Samaria despite the fact that it was a hostile territory. But it is even more surprising that the men and women of Samaria were all baptized. The Jews thought that in order for a person to join the people of God, one had to be circumcised, not baptized. And circumcision was exclusively for men. That Philip went to Samaria and gave baptism to both men and women was like a declaration that the wall that separated from Jews from Gentiles and the walls of gender that separated men and women had all come down in the name of Jesus Christ. This was not all. Philip, in obedience to the words of God's messenger, went from Jerusalem to Gaza. It was a place of wilderness where no one lived. When he went there, he found a eunuch who was in charge of all the financial matters of Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. He had come to Jerusalem for worship and was reading Isaiah on his way back home. The Philip approached the carriage and asked where he understood what he was reading. The Ethiopian eunuch replied, "How could I understand it without anyone to guide me?" And Philip told him that the lamb which is being led to slaughter is Jesus Christ, and preached the gospel to him. And in a place where there is water, Philip gave him a baptism, not a circumcision. Gentiles could not receive circumcision as a rule. But once in a while, there were Gentiles who decided to live as Jews, accepted Judaism, and underwent circumcision. But the eunuchs were someone who was physically unable to receive circumcision. Because circumcision was replaced by baptism, it became possible for the eunuch to receive baptism. We also should keep in mind that when the Acts tells us that the group who had gathered at the upper room to wait for the Holy Spirit, Jesus had promised, numbered 120, it does not say that there were only men and they numbered in 120. Because both men and women longed for the Holy Spirit, the Bible refers to them as a group. And in Samaria, men and women both voluntarily wanted to be baptized. So men and women became baptized believers. Furthermore, when Philip went to the wilderness, he was able to deliver the gospel and baptize a eunuch through the words of the Bible and baptize him. Because eunuch had wanted to understand the Bible, the words of God, more deeply. In other words, God gives people hearts that hope for eternal life and truth with urgency, and God works on their souls. The reason that the people who became witnesses of the gospel, which transcended walls, were able to live the way they did is because Jesus, who is their Lord and teacher, lived such a life. We are able to confirm this through today's text. In today's text, we also meet a person who could not find any meaning or value in his life, who was thirsty for eternal life, the way a person who drinks seawater becomes thirstier. Verse 1 testifies as follows. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem and was passing through Jericho. As I mentioned last time, Jericho is about 25 kilometers from Jerusalem in northeast direction. When Jesus enters Jerusalem, he will be arrested and die on the cross. If our church, which is at Mapugu, East Jerusalem, and the four missionary cemeteries, the Jerusalem Temple, then Jesus and his party has come as far as about Ujongbu. As I mentioned last time, Jericho is one of the first cities established by men and is located at 250 meters below the sea, a city located at the lowest point globally. And from long ago, the city was populated by many palm trees. So the Deuteronomy and the Judges refer to Jericho as the city of palm trees. Furthermore, the city was surrounded by juniper forests and rose gardens. It was a fragrant paradise-like place. And the historian Josephus called Jericho a divine region. Because Jericho was an affluent city, it generated one of the highest tax revenues among cities in Palestine. Last week, we looked at how Jesus opened the eyes of a sight-impaired man at this city. He was living as a beggar, totally unfitting of the beautiful city where he was, and his eyes could not see. But he knew better than any person who could see who Jesus Christ was, even better than his disciples. He first called Jesus the Son of David, a term which was like a noun that stood for Messiah. The person who first called Jesus as the Son of David in the Gospel of Luke was this sight-impaired beggar, Bartholomew, who begged at the entrance to Jericho. He could not see, and he dressed in rags, and he may have looked shabby because he was not able to bathe for a long time. However, his faith was more beautiful and fragrant than the city of Jericho itself. Now, Jesus met a man who, in contrast to this beggar, was dressed in clothes made of really fine materials and looked sophisticated and glamorous. But he was a person who had been living a life of ugliness and that stank, despite his clothes and despite the fragrance that he gave off from washing himself and putting oils on his hair daily. Verse 2 testifies as follows. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. In Korean translation of the Bible, there is a word that has been omitted. In the Greek original, there are two words, but behold, kai idu, at the beginning of the verse. The words tell us that the person who is about to be introduced is not just anybody, but somebody that deserves attention. His name was Zacchaeus, and his job was a chief tax collector. His achievement in life was that he had built up much wealth. Generally, it is said that a name card is a man's face. This means that most of the men like to be assessed in terms of their abilities. From this perspective, Zacchaeus was somebody who had a very glamorous name card. I had talked about what kind of job that a tax collector did at the time, but I will tell you again. A tax collector was appointed by the Roman government. The appointment was made through a bid process. For example, people would apply to become a tax collector in Jericho. One says that he will collect 10 talents, another 20 talents, and yet another 30 talents. The person who bids the highest amount would win the bid to become the tax collector. A tax collector was not paid a salary. How much money that was collected in excess of his bid was his income. Therefore, in order to accumulate wealth, tax collectors collected tax without mercy. Most of what they managed to collect and hoard resulted in sighs, tears, resentments, and anger of the people. In this way, the tax collectors, although they were Jews, worked for the Roman Empire, not for Israel. And for this reason, they were treated as traitors. Because they lied all the time, they lost a right to serve as witnesses in court. And because they were thought to have been abandoned by God, they didn't think they had the right to worship at the temple. At the time, there were two kinds of taxes, tax and customs, and there were three kinds of taxes. The first was a poll tax, which was a half a shekel equal to today's wages, and be paid by men between the ages of 14 to 65 and a woman between the ages of 12 to 65. The second was a land tax, 10% of all harvested grains and 5% of all grapes and oils that were gathered had to be paid as land tax. The third was an income tax, and one had to pay 1% of one's income. A tax collector which collected these taxes were called a gabbai. These taxes were collected at a fixed rate, so there wasn't a whole lot that a tax collector could manipulate to collect more taxes. So gabbais were not the objects of criticisms that often. There was yet another type of tax collector, moches, who collected customs. Customs were assessed on goods that went through harbors or markets as income taxes and import taxes. carriages that went through a particular road had to pay a toll as a road tax. Just like the tolls paid by cars today, the road tax was paid depending on the number of horses that pulled a carriage and a number of wheels that carriages had. The tax collector stopped people who were traveling on main roads, made them unload the goods, and assessed customs tax as they saw fit. If a person didn't have money to pay tax, the tax collectors received payments in goods and sold them in the markets, or they lent money necessary to pay the tax and engaged in money-lending business. These mokes were the object of much contempt. Matthew, who was a disciple of Jesus, was at one time a mokes. Now, Zacchaeus was not just an ordinary tax collector, but a chief tax collector. No matter what kind of job it is, not anyone can get to the top. Even if all enter the military academy and become soldiers, not everyone gets a star and becomes a general. And even if all become government workers after passing the national exam, not all become an assistant minister or the minister of the government. And even if all take the job entrance examination and get to work at a mega corporation, only a very, very few rises to the top at that company. Only those who have passions unmatched by others, discernment, and ability can rise to the top when placed in the right environment and when they receive help from others. That Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector means that he did his job that distinguished himself from others and with zealousness. While others collected 10,000 won or 20,000 won as taxes, he probably collected 50,000 won or 100,000 won. And so when Zacchaeus is introduced, he is introduced as a rich man. These days, how much money does one need to have in order to be known as a rich man in our country? When we say that person is really a rich man, how much wealth do we mean? We probably have different ideas about a rich man depending on our personal values and how much wealth each of us have. And because the finance industry has advanced, it is possible to have a lot of wealth without such wealth being apparent to others. However, wealth in the ancient times most of the time was conspicuous. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man known as such by many people in Jericho. People perhaps commonly said things like, "The chief tax collector Zacchaeus has the most real wealth in Jericho," or "The chief tax collector Zacchaeus probably ranks number one in terms of having liquid cash." The name Zacchaeus has the meaning of purity or righteous. A name of a child born to Christian parents is like confession of faith. There is probably no case when parents give just any name to their child. Parents name their children with the sincere hope that their children will live lives that befit their names. And this was all the more true for Israelites than for us. The Gospel of Luke begins with the birth of John the Baptist. When the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah and tells him that his wife Elizabeth will have a baby, he could not believe it, although he was a priest. His wife was already really old and was not in a condition to have a child, according to his thinking. The angel then prevented him from speaking so that he could no longer speak. But Elizabeth had a child just as prophesied by the angel. And when they tried to name the baby as John, as instructed by the angel, his relatives all opposed it, saying that such a name was not found among their clans. So the relatives decided to ask the father, Zachariah, and gave him a panel on which he could write. Zachariah then wrote, "Let his name be John." We can see that naming a child was an important affair for Israelite people. Zacchaeus' parents probably wanted him to live a good and righteous life after he was born. It would be the same as if me naming my child Cheong Sun-su or Cheong Parim. But he lived a life that was completely different from his name. Rather than being pure, or far from being pure, his life was a pollution itself. Far from being righteous, he did not hesitate to do unrighteous things or step on others if he could get money from it. His life goal was to grasp ever more things. But although Zacchaeus' life seemed successful and powerful, lording over others, and he seemed to enjoy riches that others could never come close in their lifetime, there was a place in his heart that could not be filled. There was an emptiness in him that he could not tell others about. The first part of verse 3 testifies as follows. He wanted to see who Jesus was. The Greek verb zeteo, which has been translated as wanted to, has the meaning of seeking persistently and looking for something repeatedly. In chapter 13 of Matthew, we find parables of kingdom of God that Jesus told us. Among them is this saying. This is from Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. The word translated as looking for in this verse is zeteo. A merchant who is looking for fine pearls will not look at pearls with half attention. He will examine very carefully to see if the pearl is a natural pearl, how big it is, and how pure its color is. And there is a saying in Mark chapter 14, verse 1. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. And the word that has been translated as scheming is also zeteo. The chief priests and other religious leaders probably had many meetings and worked very hard to find a legitimate excuse to crucify Jesus on the cross. So when Jesus passed by Jericho, Zacchaeus did not become curious about Jesus by chance. He wanted to know who Jesus was persistently and repeatedly. The reason that he became deeply curious about who Jesus was The reason was that while others called him a traitor, considered him a robber with a license, and whispered among themselves that he was a man more like a wild beast than a bear at a mountain, or a lion in a field, Jesus was different. He didn't mind being called a friend to sinners and tax collectors. He ate and drank with them, and even called a tax collector as one of his disciples. Others put up numerous walls against me, who is a tax collector. But who is this man who destroys all those walls and treat tax collectors well? We will examine the text over the next several weeks, but the reason Zacchaeus came to have this question is because Jesus had already come into his heart. In Jesus, the walls that separate the good jobs from worthless jobs and religious purity and impurity had already disappeared. We sometimes also have a moment like this. We carry on a lackluster faith life for a long time and suddenly ask ourselves, is it okay for me to just carry on like this? We come to a realization that although we have believed for a long time, we did not serve the Lord right. We did not serve as the hands and feet of the Lord. We think, what if we have nothing to show for when we stand before God and have nothing to offer? And we come to thank the Lord who came to us, who indeed have nothing to show for. The Lord who embraced us were without any qualification, without any condition. The reason we have these thoughts is because the Lord has entered our lives and looks after us. At a moment like that, we should not let it pass without any meaning. We should serve the Lord with our hearts and devotion. We must struggle with all our might to know the Lord more deeply and widely. If we do this, our faith will mature, different from before. These opportunities do not come very often, and they could be God-given opportunities for us to prepare for what lies ahead. If you let the moments just pass without any meaning, one could live as a Sunday Christian for a long time. Now, something like this could happen when one has just started out on a faith journey. One becomes curious about God's words, or the right way to believe, something one was not interested in at all normally. A thought occurs that God is involved in my life. When one believes that Jesus has died on the cross to save me, one must read the Bible with concentrated efforts in order to know who God is. And when one offers worship, one must engage in worship with all of his or her hearts. When one does so, one will find that one has become spiritually a different person from before. If you do not do this, you can remain as a weak tree which does not bear fruits for a long time. And if you see someone who tries to grow spiritually and tries to become mature spiritually, you must help them well. One must not become envious or jealous and cut them down. One must never say things like, who has not tried to believe zealously in the past? Don't overdo it. The way of faith is not an easy road. It must be traveled until the moment we breathe our last. At times, there are the wide road of Zion, but more often, there are valleys of tears. And so, there are many times that we stumble and we breathe out deep sighs. And so, we must grow as much as we can when God involves himself in our lives and make spiritual markers as we go on, in order for us to walk the way that God wants us to travel step by step, remembering the works of God who was with us in the past. We are spending difficult days because of COVID-19. We are not able to worship in person. We can only worship separately in each of our personal space. And we can be experiencing financial difficulties because of the restraints in our social activities. By any chance, are you thinking that the way to secure your future at a time like this is to get a hold of a name card that is more impressive and to accumulate more things? The Lord, who has created all things and who is sovereign over the history of this world, is surely aware of COVID-19 situation that our nation and the whole world are going through. If the Lord is knocking on our hearts, if we suddenly have a longing for the Lord, and we feel thirst and hunger for the words of the Lord, let us not look the other way. Let us go before the Lord all the more, and regard the Lord all the more from where we are. By us regarding the Lord now, no one knows how the Lord will make us more mature, what work the Lord will do through us. The Lord who made Zacchaeus to ask the Lord, ask of the Lord, who is this person, and opened his heart, is facing us now. Beloved congregation members, let us only make him our strength. Let us give all of our lives completely over to him. In the same way that the Lord has renewed the life of Zacchaeus, he will also take responsibility for our lives. He is the mighty Lord who comes to us transcending time and space. Let us pray. Father God, people had put up walls against Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, and comforted themselves by considering themselves as being different kinds of people from Zacchaeus. In the same way that the people of the early church transcended gender, transcended the wall that separated Jews from Gentiles, allow us to become people who transcend walls that are not biblical. Zacchaeus became the chief tax collector and accumulated a lot of wealth, but this did not give him true satisfaction. It was like drinking seawater that only added thirst drink after drink, and he could not resolve the thirst in his life. But by opening his heart to the Lord, he was able to live a new life. Allow us not to make the mistake of falling into an illusion of thinking we will be happy when we sit at the seat where Zacchaeus sat, when we get to have the wealth that he had. When the Lord pours grace upon us so that we look back on our lives and seek the Lord and his words with more longing, allow us to focus on the Lord all the more. In this way, may COVID-19 becoming a stepping stone and not a stumbling stone for us in coming before the Lord and obeying his words, and may we become more mature in the Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.